very happy to be here this morning. Enjoyed the services last night and appreciate the good sheep food that's gone before us.
Amen.
Not everything that comes across the book board is sheep food.
Yeah.
That was sheep food.
That was sheep food.
Yeah, that's right.
I appreciate the sheep food. And I hope you didn't get too full. I'd like to have a little food to give to you as well.
Amen.
But I appreciate Brother Joe's passion and enthusiasm. And he did get the quote right. Not everybody quotes me gets it right. I get a little nervous sometimes. So I say, well, I heard Brother Ronald Lawrence say. They don't always get it right. But you got it right this morning.
Good.
I'd like to take you to begin with this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 15. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, we find where Saul has gone out to battle against the Amalekites, and the Lord has instructed him very clearly what he's to do. He's to destroy everyone and everything. He would bless him to win the battle, but he was not to bring back anything that was alive, animals or people. Now Saul went, he won the battle, but he brought back the king, disobeyed the Lord there, brought back the best of the oxen and the sheep, disobeyed the Lord there. And so the Lord sent Samuel then to Saul. And first of all, Saul said, I've done what the Lord commanded me to do. And see, he must have believed in partial obedience, being satisfactory to God.
Right.
Partial obedience is not satisfactory to
the Lord. Amen.
And so Saul said, well, if you've done what the Lord told you to do, why did I hear the lowing of the oxen and the bleeding of the sheep?
Because
I wouldn't hear that if you'd done what the Lord told you to do. He said, because you've rejected the Lord hath rejected thee, and therefore he's going to give the kingdom to a neighbor that is better than you. He doesn't tell us who the neighbor is, but we know by continuing to read that it would be David. But then he said, for the strength of Israel will not sin nor repent. He's not man that he should repent.
Amen.
I'd like to think about that expression for a little while, the strength of Israel. The word strength is spelled with a capital S. Therefore, it's a name of God. It's the only place in all the Bible, old and new, where God's referred to as the strength of Israel. The word literally means eternity. It means victory. And so I'm wondering why here, in this context, would he be referred to as the strength of Israel? Because Israel had lost sight of where their strength was.
That's right. Amen.
Their strength had always been in God, but they lost sight of it. And they wanted to have a king to be like other people. They wanted a king to go out before them and to fight their battles for them, etc. Forgetting, apparently, that being God had always taken care of them.
Yeah.
It was God who had brought them out of the land of Egypt across the Red Sea, totally and completely, without the loss of one. It was God.
Mm-hmm.
So God allowed them to have this earthly king. And we notice how they chose him. They chose somebody that was head and shoulders above everybody else.
Yeah.
According to man's viewpoint, this man couldn't fail.
Yeah.
He was a blue chip prospect. Mm-hmm. He had cannot fail right across his heart. He was just head and shoulders above everybody. From a physical perspective, his physical attributes set him aside, and they just admired him, and that's who they wanted to have as a king. Now, Saul thought within himself that he was strong. And when I compare him with another Saul in the New Testament, it's quite interesting.
Yes.
You know, that Saul of Tarsus in the New and Saul of Kish over here. Saul of Kish thought he was strong, proving that he was weak.
Right.
But the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12 and 10, when I'm weak, then am I strong.
Right.
The very opposite. The Apostle Paul kept before him constantly the weakness of his own self. That's why he was such a wonderful and profitable man of God that God used in such astounding ways. But Saul of Kish over here saw in himself strength, and then we see the very weakness that he had. And so we find here where Samuel says, for the strength, capital S, of Israel will not lie nor repent, cannot lie or repent. He's not man that he should repent. In other words, he's not going to change his mind about this.
That's right.
He's going to take the kingdom away from you, just like he said he was going to do. Now, we find this to be the case in the lives of many different people, sometimes positive, sometimes negative. I think about a man by the name of Samson. Now, Samson is well known, for his strength. It's quite interesting to me how people will remember just one thing about biblical characters.
Right.
somebody will think about Job. People don't even read the Bible, you know. Well, no, Job is known for his patience. Well, Job's known for a lot more than just his patience.
Yes, right.
So you need to read the book of Job about Job and learn a lot more about him than just his patience. So what does people know about Samson? Well, he was a strong man. I mean, he did exploits that's beyond human comprehension just about. And he did. The Lord called him to deliver Israel. He was a judge among the Israelites. God called him to deliver them. So he gave him superhuman strength. This strength was not within Samson. I've never viewed Samson as being somebody about 6'6", 6'8", weighed about 300, 400 pounds, and with muscles so big that if you tried to put on any shirt, just brush the shirt asunder. I've never seen Samson like that.
Right.
I see Samson just like anybody else,
right,
ordinary
right.
person, that God gave supernatural strength unto him to do exploits again that are, of course, legendary.
Yeah.
He had the supernatural strength to do that. For example, one time he took 300 foxes and tied their tails together. Can you imagine just gathering 300 foxes together, wouldn't they? But he's going to tie their tails together. He's going to put a firebrand in the midst of their tails and send them out into the cornfields of the Philistines and just burn them up. And then one time he took the new jawbone of an ass and he slew 1,000 Philistines with, that was his only weapon. The new, you know, a new jawbone of an ass. That's all he had in his hand. And he slays 1,000 people. But Samson was a very interesting character to me. He was always pushing the limit, always
yeah.
wanting to know just how far he could go without going too far.
Yeah.
And that's dangerous living.
Amen.
That's extremely dangerous living to be that way. But God was merciful. God was very merciful unto him. And, you know, and long-suffering with him along these lines. In the 16th chapter of the book of Judges, we read where the Philistines, always trying to find a way to capture him, was always totally unsuccessful. We find they knew he was in this certain house, and they planned the next morning to try to capture him. They had the plan. But at midnight, we find where Samson just goes down to the city gate, and he gets the two bars and the post and everything of that gate and just pulls them out of the ground and puts them on his shoulders and takes them to the top of the hill and just walks away untouched. Certainly nobody was going to take him captive. And that just, again, showing the superhuman strength that he had. But then he got involved with a woman called Delilah of the Philistines. Again, violating God's word. See, Samson was a Nazarite. And a Nazarite was somebody was not supposed to touch a dead body, not drink strong drink, and was let his hair grow long. A razor was not to come upon his head. And so he carried that out just like he was supposed to, but he was always pushing the limit, trying to see how far he could go without going too far once again. That's dangerous living.
Amen.
And he got him in a dangerous place here. And so the Philistines came and bribed, you know, his wife, Delilah. I'd like to have a wife like that. Bribed his wife to try to find out the secret of his strength. The Philistines knew nothing about the true and living God.
Right.
Samson did.
Amen.
And Samson just played around with it for a while. When you play with fire, sooner or later, you're going to get burnt.
Yes.
Sooner or later, you're going to get burnt. We heard a lot about the devil here this morning. And so finally, she wearied him half to death. He finally revealed to her that if his hair was cut, his strength would be gone. Strength was not in his hair, okay? The strength was in his obedience to be a Nazarite according to God's law.
Right.
And God would bless him with that strength that he gave him. So that night, he fell asleep. They came, she cut the locks of his hair off. When he woke up the next morning, it says he arose and went out as in times past, not knowing that the Lord had departed from him.
Yeah.
The Lord is no longer with him. Now listen, the New Testament gives us an example of this. In Philippians 4:13, Paul says, we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. That means all things that God has commanded.
Right,
not all
right.
things without limitation.
Right.
You don't have the strength from Christ to go out here and do wrong.
Right.
But we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. And then in John chapter 15, the Lord Jesus Christ gives us the lesson that he's the vine, his Father's the husbandman, and you are the branches. And except the branches abide in him, they cannot bring forth fruit. But if they bring forth fruit, they're purged to bring forth more fruit. Then they can bring forth much fruit. That's the purpose of discipleship,
yes.
is to be fruit bearing, you see.
Amen.
But he says, well, without me, you can do nothing. On one side, we got without Christ, we can do nothing. On the other side, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us.
Right.
Now, we need to know where our strength comes from.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so Samson went out, as in times past, not knowing that the Lord had departed from him, and then he was just an ordinary man.
Yeah.
Without the Lord, he was just an ordinary man.
Right, right, right.
See? And so they captured him, and they put out his eyes, and they bound him. He lost his eyesight, he lost his strength, he lost his witness, he lost his testimony, he lost his freedom.
Amen.
He lost a lot in that, didn't
yes.
he?
Yes.
A child of God can't lose his eternal salvation,
no.
but he should sure lose a lot of other things
yeah.
for having.
Yeah.
I can tell you that.
Yeah. Right.
And so we find where Samson now is in captivity, and time goes by. And then there's a little verse that says, but his hair began to grow back again.
Mm.
His hair began to grow. And they take him one day and they make sport of him in this huge house of whatever you want to call the structure. And there was 3,000 of them in that structure that day. And Samson could not see. But he got a young lad
yeah.
to tell him where the two pillars were. He said, put my hands on the two pillars. And then he prayed the second recorded prayer of Samson. When you look at Samson's two prayers, they are both somewhat selfish, seemingly
yes.
to me. They were for his own self. But God in his mercy answered both of them. And hear what his prayer was. He says, Lord, give me strength. Lord, give me strength.
Yeah.
He needed the strength he had in times past. And the Lord answered that prayer and gave him strength on that occasion to push those two pillars down. And the entire structure came tumbling down. And he destroyed more in his death than he did his life.
Right.
Now, where was Samson's strength all along?
Amen.
Certainly it was in God, was it
Amen.
Not?
Yeah.
It wasn't
right.
in him.
Right.
It wasn't in his hair. It was in God.
Amen.
God gave him that supernatural strength, just like he gave Israel strength, you know, to come out of Egypt. Let's look at that just for a second. In Exodus chapter 6, in the opening verses, God speaks to Moses. Moses Aaron has gone down to Egypt in chapter 5 of Exodus and asking Pharaoh to let his people go, and he's refused. Now the Lord says to Moses, I want you to see what I'm going to do unto Pharaoh.
Yeah.
He says, for with strong hand he shall let them go. And with strong hand, he shall drive them out.
Amen.
That's not Pharaoh's hand he's on consideration.
No, no,
that's
right.
God's hand.
That's right.
With God's hand, he says, with strong hand, he will let them go. With strong hand, he shall drive them out.
Yeah.
You come to Exodus chapter 13, and you'll find four times that same expression is used. By strength of hand. God's hand. He says, first of all, remember the day that you came out. The month Abib, that's to be our March/April, about this time of year. Remember the day that you came out of the land of Egypt. By strength of hand, you came out. God's hand.
Yeah.
Then he says, when your children, he says, instruct your children about this event. Instruct your children about this part of their history and let them know by strength of hand they came out. And then later when your children asked you some things about this, you let them know by strength of hand that they came out. Four times in chapter 13, the writer tells us by strength of hand, God's hand, that they came out of there.
Right.
All right, they came out. See, I'm talking about the strength of Israel right here, right?
Yes, right.
The strength of Israel.
Amen.
So they came out. Now, I look up here in the book of Joshua chapter 14, and to me, one of the most outstanding people in all the Bible is brought to our attention. His name is Caleb.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb and Joshua have been two of the 12 spies that Moses sends to the land of Canaan to spy out the land. And you know, hopefully the story, if you're a Bible reader, you know the story. A lot of times, you know, people say, well, here's a familiar part of the Bible. It is to people who read the Bible. It's very unfamiliar to people who do not read the Bible. Okay? So, 12 spies go to the land of Canaan. They come back with a report. And the report is this. The land is fruitful. The land flows with milk and honey. But also in that land, there are great walled cities. And there's giants in that land. They all brought back that report. But 10 of them says, we cannot take the land. We be not able to take the land.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where were they looking for their strength?
Yes.
See,
right.
We cannot take the land. But Caleb spoke up on behalf of him and Joshua
right.
and said, we be well able.
Right.
We're not just able. We are well able
right.
to take the land. But they listened to the 10 rather than the 2.
Right.
And therefore God judged them, gave them 1 year for every day to spy out the land, 40 days to spy it out. He gives them 40 years in the wilderness.
Amen.
Right.
Now, guess what? Joshua and Caleb have to suffer 40 years in the wilderness also.
That's right.
They
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
But they're going to be spared, and everybody who was over the age of 20 are going to perish in the wilderness.
Right.
Only their children and Joshua and Caleb are going to make it in there. All right, Caleb is the one who spoke up. 45 years has gone by. Caleb comes back to Moses on his 85th birthday. Comes back to Moses. He says unto Moses, he says, remember the day we came, went to the land of Canaan and came back to their support. Remember what you told me? You told me the day would come when this land would be my inheritance, and I'm here to claim it. And he wanted a mountain called Hebron. The word Hebron means fellowship.
Yeah.
He says, the strength I had then is the strength I've got now.
Right.
He says, as I was strong then, so am I strong now. And he preceded that by saying, God has kept me alive all the days of my life.
Right.
You know why I'm here this morning? Because there's a God in heaven who's kept me alive.
Amen.
I can give you several real events in my life. I know had God not intervened in my life, somebody else would be preaching here this morning, it wouldn't be me.
Yeah.
Because I would not be here.
Right.
God has kept me alive all the days of my life.
Right.
That's how Caleb starts it out. So he gives God the glory, right?
Amen.
He says, now, the strength I had then is the strength I've got now. He says, I'm just as strong now as I was then.
Right.
So what kind of strength are we talking about? Don't tell me the 85-year-old man has as much strength at 85 as he does at 40.
Yeah.
He does not. He does not. So we're not talking about human physical strength. We're talking about the strength God gave him at 40 years old to fight the land of Canaan, come back with the faith he had, say we'd be well able to take the land.
Amen.
So he's talking about something else. The strength I had then, the strength I've got now. And he says on this mountain are the Anakims. They were the giants.
Yeah.
He said, but if God will give me the strength and God will go with me, I can drive them out. All right? Now, he's 85 years old. That's exactly what God gave him. Remember, the mountains is Hebron, which means fellowship. If you want fellowship, you need to be a Caleb.
Yes. Right.
All right. All right, there's two things about Caleb. All right? What's known about Caleb is he holy, that's W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy followed the Lord.
Yes.
Right.
If you want Mount Hebron, you got to wholly follow the Lord.
Amen.
You got to wholly follow the Lord if you want Mount Hebron, if you want the fellowship with the Lord that Caleb had under consideration.
Right.
And to walk holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, means you got to live a H-O-L-L-Y life.
Right. Right.
You got to live a holy life to wholly follow the Lord. They both go together. You can't have one without the other. You cannot wholly follow the Lord unless you live a holy life.
Amen.
You live a holy life, then you can wholly, completely follow the Lord. And guess what? What's the prize? Fellowship with the Lord around here. That's the prize. That's the prize worth having, isn't it not? That's why Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. I love Caleb. I love the example Caleb has left for us here. But let's take a look at Elijah just for a moment. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah has gone through a great deal. He's seen the power of God in ways that I've never seen in my life. We find that Elijah prayed it wouldn't rain. It rained for 3.5 years. He's going to pray it's going to rain, then it's going to rain. And he's given an example of the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, how it avails much. Elijah has seen fire come down from heaven. He's seen him, that fire consume an offering down there that was saturated with water and 12 barrels of water around that altar.
Yeah.
Normally water puts out fire, but here fire puts out water, right? The ox. He's seen
right.
all that. And then he saw the false prophets of Baal slain. But then old Jezebel comes on the scene. Old Jezebel. You know, let me tell you something. We got 4 children. We named them all Bible names. But every Bible name is not a name I'm going to name my child.
Right.
I don't know who would name their daughter Jezebel. That's probably happened. But Jezebel comes on the scene, makes a very serious threat against the life of Elijah. Elijah gets all down in the dumps. He travels a day's journey.
Right.
And he just goes up to the mountains and he prays to God that his life might be taken. And he was as low as a man could be. He's as low as a man could get on that occasion.
Right.
And then he goes to sleep after making a request that the Lord might take his life. But it wasn't God's will.
That's right.
And so he sends an angel. Angel wakes him up, says, arise, eat. And he looks there, and there's a cake baking on the coals, and there's a cruse of water. He eats the food, drinks the water, goes back to sleep. Lord sends the angel again, wakes him up. Angel tells him the same thing. Here's what the angel said. Says, the journey is too great for thee.
Right. Yeah.
The journey is too great for thee. We're all on a journey.
Yes, we are.
I want to finish my journey in a way that I get an acceptable discharge.
Yeah.
But the journey's too great for me. You know what the Bible says about that? He's going to make a 40-day journey in the strength of that meat.
Right. Yeah.
That supernatural meal God prepared. Simple meal. Supernatural, apparently.
Yes.
There's meal cooked there, you know. And there's water. That's all he's got. And another thing I noticed, when God fed even Elijah with the ravens, he fed him twice a day. Not three times. Twice. Now, you know, I'm not so sure I won't accept that moment. But, you know, maybe something in that.
Yeah.
You know, would we all be better off if we ate twice? Apparently God thought Elijah would get by on two meals a day. That's all he gave him.
Yeah.
Two meals a day, one in the morning, one at night. Here he feeds him twice. He's going to make a 40-day journey on the strength of that meat.
Right.
Here's where that strength of that meat is today. It's called the inspired Word of God.
Right. Amen.
It's called the inspired, preserved Word of God that God has given unto us that gives me strength every day I live. First thing I do in the morning, I get up, get in a cup of coffee, sit down, open my Bible, do my daily Bible reading. And there's every morning I'm going to read something that's going to give me some strength.
Right.
And this word strength is just sprinkled throughout the Bible.
Amen.
Look at Psalms 46:1. David says, God is my refuge and my strength. He's a very present help in trouble. There's some verses, just read it, makes you feel stronger. This is one of them. God is my refuge and my strength.
Right.
The Apostle Paul wrote this in 2 Timothy 4:17-18. He said, my first answer, no man stood with me. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Isn't it sad that the Apostle Paul had nobody to stand with him?
Right.
That Paul, this wonderful man of God, who wrote 14 of 27 books of the New Testament, this man of God that was apostle to the Gentiles, this man of God that suffered all the things he suffered, had no man to stand with him. But he said, but nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. And the Lord strengthened me. There's where your strength comes, my friend. See, we're talking about the strength of Israel right here. Now, this word of God here is profitable. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That means old and new. Somebody says, I only read the New Testament. Alright, let me ask you a question. If you only read the New Testament, Moses is referred to in the New Testament 80 times.
Yeah.
How are you going to know what they talk about Moses over here if you know something about Moses over there?
Yeah, right.
Abraham is mentioned 75 times in the New Testament.
Yeah.
How are you going to know what the New Testament's writing about concerning Abraham if you don't go back and read the life of Abraham?
Right.
In the book of James, he mentions Job, the patience of Job. You're going to have to read Job to know what James is talking about over here.
Yeah, that's right.
He says Abraham's justified by works. Rahab the harlot's justified by works. How are you going to know what in the world he's talking about there if you don't know something about Abraham's life and Rahab the harlot's life? You know where that's written? It's way over here. It's called the Old Testament. Right over here, see? So I'm a believer in an entire Bible study, okay? 66 books make up God's inspired, preserved Word. That's where your strength is going to come from, all
right?
Now, a touching scene to me in the Bible is one that's found over here in 1 Samuel, where Jonathan finds David when David is being pursued by his father, Saul. And Jonathan now has become totally convinced that his father's intentions take the life of David. And so it says that 1 Samuel chapter 23, you're going to find where he's going to go and find David in the woods. And when he gets there, the Bible says that he took and strengthened David's hand in the Lord.
Yes.
Strengthened David's hand. Here's what he said to it. He says, fear not, my father shall not find thee. And thou shalt be king. And I'll be next unto thee. It didn't turn out quite that way. Saul didn't find him. He did become king. But Jonathan is not going to be next to David because he's going to get slain in the battle. All right? But he strengthened his hand in the Lord. You know, I believe I got a responsibility to try to strengthen my brother's hand in the Lord.
Amen.
How many times has your brother come to you and strengthened your hand in the Lord? So how in the world do you do something like that?
Right.
Well, first of all, he says, fear not. My father's not going to find you. And he never did. But I just got a feeling there was more to that. I got a feeling he might have said, you know, David, He says, you remember God was with you and you killed Goliath.
Right. Yeah.
And you remember when you was just a shepherd boy?
Right.
And how God delivered you from the paw of the bear and the paw of the lion? You remember that?
Right.
You remember all them battles you did against the Philistines? How God blessed you every single time to always be victorious over those Philistines? You remember that?
Yes.
You remember all these times Saul's pursued you and went after you, one thing or another, hadn't found yet. You remember that? You know, I got a feeling old David started to get feeling pretty strong.
Yeah. Right.
I got a feeling David getting to have his spirits lifted up.
Amen.
Here we find where Jonathan is strengthening the hand of David in the Lord.
Amen.
He didn't strengthen him in himself. He didn't strengthen him in David. He strengthened him in the Lord.
Amen.
And so I tell you, there's been times in my life when I've been really cast down. I've been discouraged. Yes, preachers get discouraged like everybody else.
Amen.
Preachers get cast down like everybody else. Somebody says, oh, you live close to the Lord, you never get down, do you? You just don't know the life of a preacher. That's all I can say.
That's right.
You just don't know the life of a preacher. Anyway, I believe they get more discouraged and more cast down than anybody else does. They do. But I've had brethren come and talk to me, and when they left, I was down here when I got there. I was up here when they left.
That's right. Right.
They had encouraged me and strengthened me in the Lord, you see.
Right.
So I want to do the same thing to my brother and my sister, whoever it might be. I want to try to strengthen their hand in the Lord. That's very, very important.
Amen.
Now, we look over here in the 15th chapter of the book of Exodus. And after Israel has come across the Red Sea, totally and completely, and never forget this, there was not one person left behind. Not one.
Amen.
He brought them all out of there, totally and completely, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as our great deliverer. Amen. The Bible says there's not even one faint among them. Now you tell me how an entire nation of people, age ranges from babies to elderly, come across there and not one faint person among them.
Right.
Somehow or another, God must have been in that arrangement and strengthened all of them in body just to get them across the Red Sea to the other side. Get them across the other side. So they sing this song. Song in Exodus chapter 15. Here's how it starts out. It says, the Lord is my song. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my strength.
Right. Yeah.
Three S's. Same three S's over here in Isaiah 12 too. He says, the Lord is my song. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my strength. Psalms 27. Opening verses. David says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? He says, the Lord is my song and my salvation. We'll go to Isaiah 26, 1 and 2. In that day shall this song be sung, this song be sung in the land of Judah. It's a S, song. This song shall be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city.
Yeah.
Salvation that God appointed for walls and for bulwarks.
Yeah.
He said, let the righteous nation keep the truth enter therein.
Yeah.
Then he says, trust in the Lord, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. You got your three S's there.
Yeah.
Three S's. When David fought Goliath, it's the battle of the S's. David went out to fight Goliath. He took a sword. He took a sling. He took a shepherd's bag, SS.
Yeah.
He took five smooth stones, SS. And he's going to take one of them five smooth stones, he's going to use it, and he's going to rock Goliath to sleep.
Yeah.
He's going to rock Goliath to sleep. He's going to sling that stone. It's going to find its mark in the forehead. He rocks old Goliath to sleep. What did Goliath have? Sword, shield, spear, S's, all S's, battle of the S's. Whose S's win? God's S's win, right? God's S's wins. There's three S's. Song, strength, salvation. When I was growing up as a boy, there was a tonic that came out called the 3S tonic. I was amazed it's still around.
Yeah.
You can get it at Walmart. You can get it, of course, on Amazon. You can get anything on Amazon. You know, you can get it at different places. The 3S tonic. It's maybe good to provide all your vitamins. It's maybe good for your energy and your blood. One thing or another. I mean, it's nothing it ain't good for. You know, 3S's. 3S tonic. But I got three S's better than that.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
I got the S of salvation.
Come on.
I got the S of song.
Yeah.
I got the S of strength.
Amen. Yeah.
Those three S's is far better than your 3S tonic.
Yeah.
I can tell you that now.
Amen.
And when people try to get me to take more vitamins, I take a few. And they try to get me to take more. I tell them, I say, I don't even know the ones I'm taking doing me any good.
Yeah.
Now, I get on the scales, and I can tell by getting on scales whether I'm gaining or losing. You know? And trust me, when I go to the doctor and step on those scales, I don't step on them until my watch is off.
Right. Yeah.
My cell phone's out of my pocket. My cell phone's out. My keys are out. My change is out. My coat's off. My belt is off. And that's as far as I go.
Yeah.
I'm not going to weigh one more ounce than I possibly can when I stand on them scales. All right?
Yeah,
but they do. And then I tell them, I said, what I got left on here weighs 5 pounds. Take that one. You understand that? Okay. But I can get on them scales and I can tell you if I've lost or if I've gained. Taking all them vitamins, sometimes I'd rather have my money.
Amen.
But I take a few and I take the multivitamin, but I'd rather give you the gospel.
Yes, sir.
I'd rather give you the gospel. The gospel is a multivitamin.
Yes, it is.
That contains anything and everything that you'll ever need here in this world.
Yes, sir.
It'll give you strength you'll get nowhere else.
Yes, right.
You've been made stronger here this morning. If I'm not deceived, in my experience, my observation,
yes,
the spirit here today,
yes,
you have been strengthened,
yes,
far better than the 3S tonic could do. Far better than all the vitamins and everything else you could possibly take. This is what will strengthen your heart, strengthen your soul, strengthen your mind, build you up in the most holy faith, and make you understand where your real strength comes from. Be like Paul, when I'm weak, then am I strong.
Amen.
And I will close this morning from Romans 5:6. Romans 5:6, Paul says, for when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. He said, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yes.
When we were without strength. What does it mean to be without strength? He did not say when we had a little strength.
No.
You know, sometimes you might say, man, I am wore slap out. I am wore slap out. I don't even have hardly any strength at all. I just don't have no strength, but you got enough strength to talk. You're talking. I guarantee you got enough strength to do that.
Yeah.
You got enough strength to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got enough strength to blink your eyes.
Yeah.
You got some strength, right?
Yeah.
Romans 5:6 says you don't have any.
Yeah. Yeah.
When we, God's people, God's elect, when we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly.
Yes. Yeah.
For scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yes, he will. Yet peradventure for a good man, somebody would dare to die. But God commended, which means he put on display.
Yes.
God commended his love toward us.
Yeah, that's right.
That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen. Amen.
Now, you had no strength.
Amen.
Right. A dead man can't do anything but vote. That's the only thing he can do. That's the only thing a dead man can do is vote. They do it every election. They'll do it again this year. There'll be people who have been dead for years, and they'll get their vote counted. I don't know how they pull it off, but they will. Except one party is better than the other party is about that, by the way. But anyway, they'll vote. Somehow they'll vote. But I'm here to tell you this morning, that dead man can't do anything because he has no strength.
Amen.
But we yet without strength. The strength of Israel is where our strength is at. In all things. Thank you so much.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Goodness.